in a Nutshell. I'm your host, Rillian, from NarniaWeb.com. Exciting news for you today concerning the next film, but we've also got some cool info on the new DVD. So we'll talk about that and then we'll go on to the news. So let's get started. Since Narnia has pretty much completed its run at the box office and there's not much news there, we'll be talking about how well the DVDs have been selling. The collector's edition, though not officially out until Tuesday, is currently ranked at Amazon.com as number 4 in top DVD sales. And the widescreen edition is ranked at number 11, which is pretty impressive considering the competing films out there like King Kong and Harry Potter. NarniaFans.com also has a very extensive review of the collector's edition, which you can all read at their website. I think it's also worth mentioning that the 7-book paperback collection for The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis is ranked at number 126 in book sales at Amazon.com. And just when you think that awards ceremonies are all over, there's another one announced. The Hugo Awards have nominated The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe for Best Dramatic Presentation in Long-Form Category. Other films nominated include Batman Begins, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Serenity, and Wallace and Gromit, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit. And now it's time for the word on the street. First up, the Hallmark docudrama Beyond Narnia has now been released on DVD and is available for purchase. The DVD gives an interesting light into the life of author C.S. Lewis and has received pretty impressive positive reviews thus far. NarniaFans.com has a contest you can enter at their website to win a copy of the DVD, and we also have more information on the alleged extended DVD. Walt Disney Pictures announced in a press release that the extended release of the film will have cameos with the Charlie's Angels stars Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu. Is that Liu? Liu. Liu. Whatever. And Drew Barrymore. The three stars will have cameo appearances as the professor's three servants, Ivy, Margaret, and Betty. One scene involving the three stars has Betty roughing up Edmund in retaliation for his mistreatment of Lucy. When asked if he minded this scene, Skandar Keynes replied, "Who wouldn't want to be caught in a headlock by Drew Barrymore?" A release date for the extended cut has not been announced. Also, from NarniaFans.com, they have two interviews with members of the crew for The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Skandar Keynes and Howard Berger, who just received an Oscar for Best Makeup. The Howard Berger interview is easily the most interesting as he discusses unique challenges that arose during the filming, but Skandar Keynes fans will definitely want to check out his interview as well. And from the Disney Channel, they have announced a new spin-off series of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe to be aired beginning this fall titled Star Wars The Narnian Episodes. The premise of this half-hour children's program is that a faction has arisen among Narnian stars, which are flaming human-like creatures, disputing the proper dance to be performed upon the Narnian sky. This faction, led by the star Koryarkin, will go to war with the nighttime skies over Narnia against the followers of Aslan, led by the star Ramandu. Three seasons of Narnian Star Wars are planned, which will culminate in a great battle in which Koryarkin is defeated. The series will conclude in time to tie in with the expected 2009 release of The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. But now that the main news is over with, let's talk about the sequel. Because as we all know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was only the beginning of the adventure. First up, some information on the plot developments for Prince Caspian. Andrew Adamson said in a recent interview with Entertainment Weekly that he was considering different ways of making the girls more active in the next film, since in the book they don't have much interaction with the main character Caspian. He said that one of these ways would be adding a romance between Susan and Caspian to the Narnian sequel. "The story is very human," Adamson said. "Peter and Susan never return to Narnia, and having a relationship between Caspian and Susan creates the perfect emotional conflict for the story, as well as showing how our heroes are growing up. Both want to be with the other, yet both know that their place is in their own world." That concludes the quote from Andrew Adamson. Personally, I'll be interested to hear the developments on this story. Adamson has said in the last few weeks that more liberties would have to be taken with the sequel, but he also said that he was still determined to stay true to the heart of the story. And if you're interested in more developments with the script, NarniaWeb.com has gotten a hold of a few pages of it for Prince Caspian. The script shows the introduction to the battle between Peter and Miraz and is pretty informative and interesting. Also, we have a confirmed shooting location now, and it's one of the last places anyone expected, Tahiti. Now, personally, I'm not that surprised at this news. After all, they need a place for the ruins of Caraparavel, and apparently Mount Orohina, I think that's Orohina, the mountain, standing at 7,352 feet, has been selected for Aslan's Howl. One discussion many of us were talking about is the problem is if Prince Caspian were to be filmed in a different location from the first film, since both have a battle taking place at Varuna, it might cause a conflict, since people might wonder why one place looks so very different from the other. In order to handle this problem and counter the differences in the terrain, the second Battle of Varuna will be filmed on a patch of grass carefully constructed to look like the land in the first film. And speaking of Varuna, film executives have decided to make the scene with the fort of Varuna more intense by adding crocodiles to a 10-minute battle between the river god and his Narnian piranhas. And, as we've just found out, Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, will be having a hand in the upcoming Narnia film with a cameo appearance in the scene. And some exciting news here. Casting announcements have begun to come in, and here they are. First of all, Rupert Grint has been cast as Trumpkin the Red Dwarf. Rupert Grint, who came to fame playing in the Harry Potter films as Harry's chum Ron Weasley, has been cast as the Red Dwarf Trumpkin. Producer Mark Johnson called Grint the perfect man for the role. Apparently, the producers were looking for a younger Trumpkin this time in order to relate better to the kids. When asked how he felt about the casting, Grint said, "It's like cool, you know. I mean, first I did Harry Potter, and that was great and all, and now I'm going to do Narnia. Should be really kicking." Reportedly, the production will use green screen technology to shrink Grint to dwarf size. And also huge news here about the roles of Glozell and Sepespian, King Miraz's two aides, Ant and Dec have been cast. Adamson commented, "We're really excited to have the guys on board. They're a great Brit institution, and we know they'll add a touch of humor to their scenes. We've actually been considering making them the overall comic relief, and no, we haven't ruled out Sepespian bursting into song at some stage." Reportedly, the production will use green screen technology to boost the pair's height. And with big news about the role of Cornelius, Adamson has announced that Wallace Shawn will be taking on the role. The noted actor has taken on several roles, including the role of Vicini in The Princess Bride and Mr. Huff in The Incredibles. Adamson said, "With characters like Cornelius that are going to be covered in a lot of makeup, the voice element is very important. I hate comparing to The Lord of the Rings, but Jackson did it right with Rhys Davies as Gimli by having an actor with the perfect character voice. Wallace Shawn brings that perfect quality to Cornelius." And who is going to tackle the giant role of Giant Wimbleweather? None other but Warwick Davis. Warwick Davis has been in a lot of films, but three of which that might come to mind are The Return of the Jedi, Harry Potter, and Willow. When asked about the odd casting decision, Adamson pointed out that no matter who they use, he'll be filmed on a green screen stage. He said, "Rumblebuffton was actually played by a somewhat short, stocky actor in the first film, but Wimbleweather is a more emotional character. Davis has the acting ability and the proportions we want." And though not official, noted actor Johnny Depp is rumored to be starring in Prince Caspian. When asked a question in an interview concerning Pirates of the Caribbean about his future work with Disney, Depp said, "Well, I've been talking to Mark Johnson about a Disney film project that's going to be very big and comes out next year. The character's a lot like Jack in many ways, very thoughtful and always thinking." Though many would not be that surprised if he took on a role like Glozell or Sepespian, which are now taken, many think that the actor probably won't be playing Miraz. It's very possible that Depp may be coming on board for a new role in the film that has yet to be announced. And news about a role that people are very, very interested in. NarniaWeb has confirmed that Mr. T will be the voice of Reepy Cheep, the talking mouse, in Prince Caspian. Director Andrew Adamson said of the voice, "From the beginning, I've always wanted to make a movie based not on the book, but on my memory of the book. Mr. T perfectly embodies my image of the tough guy mouse with the heart of gold." Mr. T is best known for his role in the 1980s television series, The A-Team, and in the movie Rocky III. Narnia Web has obtained concept art from Sony Imageworks, who will reportedly be creating the computer-animated Reepy Cheep. All of this and more on NarniaWeb.com. And last but certainly not least, Melissa Morgan will be playing Queen Puna Prismia in Prince Caspian. Why is that so significant? Because Melissa Morgan is also a NarniaWeber. She's our very own Cymry. Apparently, there was also a scuffle between Melissa Morgan and Nicole Kidman on Friday. Kidman had auditioned for the role of Queen Puna Prismia in the upcoming film, but the role was given to Morgan earlier this week. Kidman became angry when she read an erroneous IMDb entry listing Tom Cruise in the role of King Miraz. Kidman is reported as saying, "I'll have no more of Tom passing me over for younger, prettier women." Concerning the story, Mark Johnson had this to say, "I logged in yesterday morning and was greeted by a news headline that Tom Cruise had been cast as King Miraz. Apparently, someone thought they saw him climbing into a helicopter on location. The nearest we can guess is that Anna Popplewell had her hair cut short between films and visited a location recently. Someone may have seen the back of her head and thought she was Tom Cruise." Well, folks, that's an interesting piece of news. I really don't know if that's an insult to Tom Cruise or a compliment to Popplewell, or an insult to Popplewell and a compliment to Tom Cruise. I really don't know. That's something for the forums, I guess. You can head on over there for the debate. Well, that pretty much concludes all our announcements on Princess Caspian for today. Head on over to NarniaWeb.com for a poll where you can decide on which casting announcement you're most pleased with. And until next time, I'm your host, Rillian, from NarniaWeb.com. Thanks for listening. Hello, everyone. This is Rillian with a disclaimer that has been deemed necessary for this podcast. It was an April Fool's edition. So while the news in here that applies to the DVD is pretty much correct, if it applies to the new film Prince Caspian or the extended DVD, then it's pretty much fake. And for those of you who have already heard this podcast, I hope you enjoyed it. If you were fooled by the news, then all I have to say to you is, you must learn the ways of the Force.